Take your Bibles, if you would, Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. It's been a couple weeks since we've been in the book of Joshua. I appreciate, again, Brother Harry filling in for me on Wednesday night. Everybody I've talked to said he did a wonderful job, and so it's always good to be able to go and know that you have several folks in your church that you could ask to teach for you. But I appreciate Brother Harry doing it for me last Wednesday night. You open your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 8. We're going to pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago. Remember, a couple weeks ago, the children of Israel had just paid for the sin that Achan had committed. They'd taken care of that sin that was in the camp. And I want to start tonight. You don't need to turn to it, but with a verse from the book of Psalms. Psalm 66:18, where the psalmist says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Written by David, you know, at a time when he had sin in his life. And what that phrase means, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that means if I have something in my heart that shouldn't be there, if I have a sin in my life, and the Holy Spirit comes to me and says, hey, you got this sin, it shouldn't be there, you need to get rid of it. And I say, but this is one of my favorites. I like this one. I'm keeping this one. I'm regarding that iniquity in my heart. The Holy Spirit's convicted me about it, but I've decided for whatever reason to hang on to it. And when I decide that, the Bible says, God will not hear me. Doesn't mean I lose my salvation, but he will not hear me. And because he does not hear me, he cannot do those things that come in answer to my prayers, like encourage me, like comfort me, like direct me. And again, it doesn't say it, but what that verse implies is, if I don't regard iniquity, in other words, if I have sin in my life and the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, let me point this out to you, you need to get rid of it, and I say, you're right, I'm going to get rid of it, that opens up, back up, the communication between me and God. God will hear me as I pray, and in answer to my prayer, he can do the things that come in answer to prayer, like encouragement, and like comfort, and like direction. As long as the sin of Achan was in the camp of Israel, God could not hear his people. He could not answer their prayers. He could not direct them. He could not comfort them. But once the sin was taken care of, once the sinner was identified and the goods that he had stolen had been brought back and the sin had paid for, God was able to come back to his people and comfort them, encourage them, and direct them. And that's what we find in the first couple verses of Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." And so I want you to notice, after the sin was taken care of, here comes God to Joshua. He says, "Fear not, neither be dismayed." Because you see, what happened at Ai was a discouragement to Joshua. I mean, it was something that really got him. He had taken over from Moses. You know the story because we've looked at it. He had taken over from Moses. He had crossed the Jordan River in a miraculous way. He had gone up to Jericho, a very strong, fortified city. And he had taken Jericho without losing a single soldier in the army. I mean, and again, in a miraculous way, God knocked the walls down. And so you could see Joshua, he was on a roll. I mean, everything was going good. He was living on the mountaintop, so to speak. And then Ai comes along. 36 men killed. And I want you to notice something. It wasn't something from without that led to the Israeli defeat at Ai. It was something from within. It wasn't the Canaanites that were the problem. It was the Israelites. And again, as I was reading this story, I thought, you know, that's the same. God hasn't changed. The same principles, and that's why these stories are in this book. These are true stories, by the way. They're not made-up stories. These are an accounts of what happens to God's people. And he puts them in this book so that we can learn from them. We as God's people will never be defeated by an outside force. If we're defeated, it will come from within. Churches that get in trouble and churches that start to die, they don't die from an outside attack. They die because of an inside attack. I have a pastor friend right now that's really going through it, and he's and I want you to pray for him. I want just you know him. It's Brother Tom Doyle. You know, Tom went down to Illinois, and we spent about an hour on the phone, and he's having a real battle over music. I mean, he told the church right when he went in, you know, what his stand was on contemporary music, and they agreed, and now they've changed their mind. And so it's you just need to pray for him because he's just in a tough spot. But again, I want to say to us, we're sort of like the Israelites. I mean, I've been looking at what God has done for us for the past couple, 3 years. And if you just looked at what he's done for us, you'd have to say, man, God's put us on a roll. We're living on a mountaintop. I mean, we are. I mean, it's not say, and I know that, you know, there's some things that we can improve on. There's some things that we need to fix. Things that are not perfect. But God has blessed us abundantly the last couple, 3 years. And we just need to be careful. Because if we lose the blessing of God, it's not going to be because of what somebody out there does. It's going to be because of us. And so I say again tonight, let's guard our thoughts. Let's guard our actions. Let's guard our attitudes. Let's give God all the glory for everything he's done. But let's make sure we keep ourselves right. Right. And it comes down to us as individuals. I mean, it was just one guy that messed up what God was doing for the Israelites. One guy that disobeyed God. And the same thing can happen to us. So let's guard. So God says, fear not, neither be dismayed. He says, I know you're discouraged, Joshua. I know you're discouraged, but it's time to get up and get back at it. And so he makes Joshua some promises. He says, look, I have given you the king of Ai. And I've given you his people. And I have given you his city. And I have given you his land. You're going to do the same thing to Ai that you did to Jericho. You're going to completely defeat it. Only this time, the spoil of the city is going to be yours. Every animal, every bit of silver, every bit of gold, everything in Ai, you're going to take for a prey unto yourself. And I was thinking this afternoon, isn't it a shame that Achan could have just waited just a little bit longer? Just a little bit longer. If Achan could have waited just one more city, he could have shared with these people the spoil of Ai. And yet, he took what was forbidden, and as a result of taking what was forbidden, he not only lost that, but he lost everything else that he had, and he lost his life. And those that sort of denied themselves because they were obedient to God and said, oh, none of this in Jericho was ours, the very next city, they're going to be rewarded. They're going to have the spoil. They're going to have the animals and the gold and the silver. And again, here's the principle. It hasn't changed. The way to claim the blessings that God has in store for us is to first of all stay away from the things he forbids us to have. You ever stop and think about that? The way to claim the blessings that God has in store for us is to first stay away from what he forbids us to have. Now, I wasn't going to say this, but I feel impressed to say it. There's only one young person in the room tonight. So, Dominique, this must be all for you. I think about all the young people that can't wait, for what God has in store for them. And they do things that God forbids, that God says, no, stay away from. And if they would just wait, God has blessings in store. So let me just be real direct, Dominique. God already knows, has a guy picked out for you to marry. I know you're probably not thinking about it at all. But just listen to me. He's already got somebody picked out that he wants you to marry. He's preparing you for him and him for you. Wait. Don't get in a hurry. Wait. I think about young married couples. And I know, you know, when you get married, you want everything mom and dad has. You don't want to wait. You want it right now. You forget that they've worked 40, 30, 25, 30, 40 years to accumulate what they've accumulated. You know, when we're young, we want it all now. And so we don't wait. You know, we take out that plastic and we charge, and we get into trouble. And if we could just learn to wait, God has blessings in store. But he says, just stay away from the stuff I don't want you to have. I'll give it to you when I'm ready to give it to you. Stay away from it. And then I think all those, and again, I didn't mean to spend this long on this one thing, but I probably won't get as far as I plan to tonight. I think about all, in fact, I'm thinking about a couple right now in our church. They've had a string of stuff that has just happened. I mean, just stuff has broken and broken and just stuff. And they asked me to come over, and I went over, and they said, why is God letting all this happen to us? And I don't know why I said this. I don't usually say something like this. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you tithing? He said, don't you know? I said, no, I don't know who tithes and who doesn't tithe. I mean, Larry's the only one that knows, and he doesn't talk to me about it. In fact, he puts up walls because I've told him to. I don't want to know who gives what, and I don't have any idea. And they said, well, why would you ask that? I said, I don't know. I know this, that if you don't tithe, if you don't give God what's his, he's going to get it one way or another. And you tell me about all the stuff that's breaking, let's just get this out of the way so I know it's not the problem. Are you tithing? And the man said, well, we came to the conclusion in our life that we couldn't afford to tithe. I said, well, did you ever stop and think all this stuff that's happened to you? Maybe God's taking his tithe? And again, I don't speak on tithing very much, but we need to stay away from what's God's. He has blessings in store for us, but one of the keys to getting them is to stay away from what he says to stay away from. And so, if Achan could have just waited, he would have shared in the blessings of Ai. So God made Joshua some promises. He says, I'm going to give you the king, I'm going to give you his people, I'm going to give you a city, I'm going to give you his land, and it's going to be different than Jericho because everything in it is going to be yours. You're going to have the spoil. Now, he gives them some instructions as well. He says, I want you to take all the people. And I think this was sort of a backhand slap to Joshua, because Joshua, the first time, he only sent 3,000 to Ai. And as we're going to get to it, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, there were 12,000 men in Ai. 12,000 men. Spies went and said, oh, we don't need to send everybody. It's a small city. Let's just send 2,000 or 3,000. Joshua said, okay, 3,000 of you go. God said, now when you go this time, I want everybody to go. I want you to take everybody. Everybody with you. Everybody's got to be a part of it. And I want you to set an ambush for the city behind it. He said, I gave you Jericho in a miraculous way. I knocked down the walls. But for Ai, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to fight. I'm still going to give it to you. But you're going to have to be more of a part of the battle and the war than you were at Jericho. Look at verse 3. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, They flee before us, as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Okay, so here's what Joshua was told by God. He said, set an ambush behind the city. I mean, that's what we read in verse 2. The details were left to Joshua. The details as to how many men were going to lie in wait, the details to say when the ambush was going to attack, the details as far as approach the city, they're going to, and then draw back because they said, well, they retreated when we came out against them the first time. All those things were thought up, and again, I think God, you know, gave Joshua wisdom, but God just told Joshua, set an ambush behind the city. The rest of the plan was Joshua's. And so we read in these verses, he took 30,000 men, sent them away by night. He said, go lie against the city. I and all the people will approach. And by the way, I want you to notice, it was Joshua that was leading the people this time. We find no record that he went to Ai the first time. He sent 3,000 men. He didn't know himself. We're going to find a couple references in this chapter where he was leading the people. He was out in front. He said, we're going to approach the city, and when the king of Ai and his people see us, they're going to come out against us. First time that happened, we ran. We're going to run again. We're going to draw them out of the city. And when we draw them out of the city, you go into the city, take it, and set it on fire. That'll be the signal that you've done it. Now look at verse 9. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush, and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. Again, I want you to notice, he rose up early in the morning. He didn't waste any time. He wanted to accomplish what God told him to accomplish. And notice what it says. He went up before the people. He was in the lead. He was not a general in the rear giving commands. He was leading his people into battle. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and sent them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was in the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And so again, he puts the people in ambush. He gets them lying in wait. And then that night, as we read there in the last part of verse 13, he went into the midst of the valley that separated the army from the city of Ai. Some people think that he went there to scout out what was in the valley. I think he went there to pray. I think he went there to ask God to give him victory in this battle. I think, again, he was coming off this defeat at Ai. He was discouraged. He was wondering what was going to happen. Is God going to put his hand of blessing back on us? Is he going to give us victory again? And so the night before the battle starts, He goes into this valley. He gets alone with God, and he begs for God's help. Verse 14, "And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city." I mean, he did exactly what Joshua thought he would do. He saw the men come, and he went out against them. And he didn't see, he must not have had a very good intelligence organization, because he did not see these men that were lying in wait. Verse 15, "And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness." Now, can you imagine? Here's your commanding officer. He says, "Now look, when we approach the city and they come out against us, let's turn around and run." Some of the soldiers, "Well, that's what we did last time when we lost." Joshua said, "Don't worry. This is the plan. We're going to turn around and run. They're going to come out against us, and then these guys that we got in ambush are going to come in behind them and burn the city." "And Joshua and all Israel made as they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city." And listen to this. "And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel." Every man in those two cities followed the king of Ai out to pursue after Israel. Not one single person was left in the city. And the gates were left open. And in verse 18, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city." I think his spear was like Moses' rod. He held it out. It was a signal for those that were lying in wait to go into the city, take it, and burn it. Again, I'm out of time, but when the smoke started arising from that city, the people that were fleeing with Joshua turned around, and the people from Ai were caught right in the middle of them. And we'll go over it again next week, but the Bible says they didn't have a place to go. They were surrounded, and every single person was killed. Every single person in Ai was killed. They destroyed the city. They left it just like they did Jericho, in ashes. And the Bible says, let me see if I can find it, verse 25. "And so it was that all they that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai." You remember when Moses was still in command and he sent Joshua to battle, I think it was against the Amorites? He went up on top of the hill with Aaron and Hur, and he had the rod in his hand. And the Bible tells a story, as long as Moses held that rod up, Joshua and the Israelites won. When his arm got tired and he put the rod down, Joshua and the Israelites began to lose. And so they got a big stone and they set Moses on it, and Aaron got on one side underneath his arm, and Hur got on the other, and Moses was holding that rod up until Joshua defeated that enemy. Well, he learned from Moses, because in this battle, he held that spear up. He held that spear up from the start of the battle, the signal to send the ambush into Ai, until every one of the inhabitants of Ai was killed and defeated. Let me just give you one thought, and then I'll be done. So here's Joshua and the men approaching Ai. And then as the king comes out against them, they turn to flee like they were defeated. But it was just part of the plan for them to win the victory. Their seemingly retreat, their seemingly defeat, was all part of the plan to win the ultimate victory. Joshua in the Old Testament is a type of Christ. He paints a picture of Jesus for us. when Jesus hung on the cross, bowed his head and said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, there were many people that thought, "He's defeated. He's defeated. The cause is lost." But it was all part of the plan to win the ultimate victory. It was all part of the plan that God had in mind for us to win that victory over death. Over death. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.